You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and commit the day to you. Ask you, Almighty God, to pour your Spirit out upon us. We pray that you'd speak with a convicting force to each of our hearts and prepare us, Lord, to experience an awakening with you. We pray, dear God, that you'd move on every one of us and glorify your Son. We ask you right now to protect every witness, every gospel witness across the face of this earth this morning, no matter what country they're in. We pray you'll surround them with your grace and station your mighty angels around them. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn and wave to everybody and give them a greeting. If you're outside, honk at us. Thank you. Please be seated. And Will Blackwell is going to come share announcements with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like everyone to take a look at the Connect With Us portion on the sale, the back panel. Rips out nice and easy like this. I'd like to ask you to fill it out and place it in the offering so we can get to know you better. Life groups will be continuing every Sunday morning at 9:15 before the service, and I'd like to invite all our youth to youth group every Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. As you might have seen in the lobby, we are continuing the baby bottle campaign, in which you pick up a bottle, fill it with change, cash, or a check, and return it by Father's Day, June 20th, where all proceeds will benefit the CareNet organization. This Saturday, May 29th, the Cobos are hosting a pool party in which all 6th through 12th graders are invited. The party will be going from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And last but not least, we'd like to invite all our ladies to a Morning of Joy girlfriend gathering, Saturday, June 26th, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Thank you.
At this time, we'd like to acknowledge a graduate from our church, Paige Goodman. I've known Paige since she was born. And Paige, come on up. Paige is one of five students, South Fork, correct?
Yes.
South Fork, one of five students that didn't miss a day of school this past year out of several hundred. Ninth through 12th grade. Yeah. So Paige is going to come and share with us. God has honored her in some unique ways. We're really proud of her and her family. The Goodmans, David and Ann, are a deacon family in our church. And she's going to come and share. She's received some scholarships, some honors and awards. If you'd share those with us first, Paige, and then also share your plans for the future.
Alrighty. So I'm pretty decorated this year. I was in Spanish National Honor Society, National Honor Society, the band program for 4 years, graduated as a drum major this year. I was also in the IB program. I was accepted to Stetson University for the fall. I received I received a small merit-based scholarship. I also received a presidential scholarship for high GPA, stuff like that. I'm also going to be receiving the Florida Medallion Scholar for 100 hours of service. And I think it's over a 3.5 GPA with the IB program. So this fall at Stetson, I'm going to start my business administration degree. I'm hoping to get an MBA and a Juris Doctorate for corporate law.
Do you have any business cards printed yet?
Well, you see, I'm starting under a small law firm first once I get out of grad school, and then I'm going to break off and make my own.
Well, you might be interested is we had our golf tournament yesterday, raised money for our building fund, and we raised $2,400. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And more importantly, one of the players that came as a guest is an attorney in the area, a civil attorney, and he gave his life to Christ yesterday. After we played golf, he came up to me, Pastor Orman, I asked Jesus in my heart today. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Paige, we're really proud of you. We want to give you this compact Bible that you can keep in your purse.
Thank you.
And maybe use as a weapon. It's pretty heavy. But for you to stay in God's Word, and you know it'll bless your heart and flourish your life. He says we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And let's have a word of prayer for Paige. You pray with me as I pray for her. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you so much for Paige. And thank you, dear God, for her testimony. Thank you for her scholarship. Thank you for her diligence. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless her and her career and use her to represent righteousness and justice all the days of her life. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give Paige a big hand. Thank you. Amen. We'd like to release our children for Children's Church. And I want to give a special thank you to Sam, our church administrator. She came in early and set up all our fans for us. And let's give her a big hand. Thanks, Sam. And I'd also like to give a shout out, a big thanks to John and Cynthia Demray and Judith LaRocque and Tom Jenkins for helping to set up our golf tournament yesterday and to recruit the gifts. Let's give all of them a big hand. Praise the Lord. You know you're getting older when you play golf one day and then you get up the next morning and feel like you've gotten beaten up. I mean, my left leg's gone lame on me today. I'm limping around like a sandhill crane or something. So definitely getting older. Our nation has embraced perversion. Supreme Court legalizing homosexual marriage, which God says in Scripture in Old and New Testament, the practice is abominable. Since 1973, we've killed 62 million innocent babies, human beings in the image of God. One-third of those black Americans, even though that's only 13% of our population. We're now telling God he can't decide what sex we are, our gender, whether we're male or female. I mean, come on. I mean, really. And those who claim to be the great scientific component of our society are championing this more than anyone, and they are insane. They're ludicrous. It's ridiculous. And we look around at all of this. We're disinviting God from our schools since the 60s. We don't want him in our schools. We don't want him in our society. We are now under the heavy thumb, the heavy boot of social media and the internet control of just two or three companies that are censoring and have turned us all into commodities. We are right on the verge of the one world government. If any of you think you're not being tracked now, you are. In fact, how often with our phones are they saying, will you give your location? Will you give your location? Will you give your location? We are just on the verge of everything that God predicted in absolute, perfect, lucid detail in Scripture. In our nation, retreating, our Christians retreating. They say now that Barna and the other researchers that active Christians, the committed Christians, committed church people, are averaging every other Sunday. I got a call from one of my dear pastor friends, Ken Witten, Idlewild Baptist in Tampa, at one of the mega churches in Florida. And this was about 2 years ago, is pre-COVID, and he said, Daryl, you know, have you seen attendance go down? And I said, I have. And he said, well, we have too, but what's interesting is our membership hasn't gone down that much. What's happened is the active attenders are now coming every other Sunday instead of every Sunday, so it literally, in one sense, cuts our attendance in half when we still have the same people showing up. And this is across the nation. Since COVID last year, one half of evangelicals have fallen out of church and have not returned. Our churches are closing. We've got democratically controlled states that are trying to close our churches and keep them closed and dominating them. They'll open up strip joints and marijuana stores and liquor stores as essential businesses, and then close down our churches and fine them and then try to intimidate our pastors. And so all of this going on, and God looking down from heaven, and God sees, and God knows everything. And so I'd like to begin with 2 Chronicles 7:14. And your notes say 19, but it should be 14. Part of the number was cut off in the print. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God is an omnipotent, all-powerful God. This morning, Kim and I are getting ready for church. We're watching some religious broadcasting, and one of the broadcasts pointed out that with the naked eye, you can see hundreds of stars. With the telescope, thousands. With the Hubble telescope, they can see billions of stars. And that we have in our universe 2 trillion galaxies, each of them with 200 billion stars. I mean, I can't get my mind around that. And actually, those are estimates, and it's an ever-expanding universe. This omniscient God in control of all of this, in absolute perfect control, has designed this earth to operate on conditions, a conditional relationship with him, an if and a then. If my people, that's you and me, that's our believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't say if the lost people, the communists, the Muslims, those out there fighting the Bible and fighting God, it doesn't say them. It says, if my people, which are called by my name. How many of you here today would raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian? Raise your hands. Okay, that's you. I claim to be a Christian. I claim his name. Christian actually originally meant to be like Jesus, to be Christ-like. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now, some people who think they're really humble say humble. They drop the H off. Those are the really humble ones, the humble ones. But he says, if you humble yourself, I mean, he's telling us to take the initiative in that, to take the initiative in selflessness, to take the initiative in lowliness, to acknowledge and recognize him. We had Bill Stafford, the evangelist, here years ago in our church. I love him. A great pastor in Tennessee and one of our great evangelists in the Southern Baptist Convention. And he used to say, there's people who think there's big shots, and there's people who think they're little shots, but really we all should be shot because we're all sinners that need to be saved by grace. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, what does it mean to seek it face? Does that mean come to church once a week or twice a month? What does it mean to seek his face and turn from our wicked ways? Then will he hear from heaven and forgive our land. I'd like for us this morning to look at seven things that keep us from an awakening, a movement of God in a supernatural way. First of all, if you've got the notes today, they were in your cell. People who are uncommitted to God, uncommitted. These are people that claim his name and say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. If I hear that one more time, I think I am going to throw up. I'm going to just puke right on their shoes. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. What is the church? When the church is not this building or any building, it's us assembling here today, together, sensing God's presence corporately. What is the church? The church is the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. So people are saying, I love Jesus, but I can't stand his bride. Church is too long, takes too long. You know, they can spend all night at a sports event, but church takes too long. They can spend all day at the beach, the golf course, somewhere else, but church takes too long. If you love Christ, you're going to love his bride. Bailey Smith, the evangelist, when he was here years ago, he says, you can't say I love Jesus and yet I hate his bride. I hate the church. He said, it's hypocrisy of the highest order. And the idea is that you and I need to be committed to God. And this is an important commitment of our life. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beg you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't fall into its image. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want us to conform to this world. He wants us to be personally, individually transformed. And as we're transformed, to affect this world. We see not only are people uncommitted to God, but believers have unbent knees. I want to ask you personally, every one of you, listen, look at me, think about this question. How much time this past week did you spend in prayer? Now, we know our students pray a lot when they take exams, but outside of that, how much time have you spent in prayer? How much time have you spent? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That means talk to him, acknowledge him, recognize him, relate to him, have that living relationship with him, have the communication with him. Praying. How much did you pray this week? If we were to go person to person, let me start with Kim. No, let's go right around and ask each of you, how much did you pray? And realize that if you lie in church, then that you're going to have to add that to your confession. Praying, talking to God. And I want to encourage you, we spend a lot of time, dead time out there when we're driving, we're at traffic lights. I was coming in this morning, foot of the Palm City Bridge, pulled up beside a highway patrol woman, and I asked her to roll her window down. Her name's Margaret. And I asked her, what is your name? And she said, Margaret. I said, Margaret, can I pray for you? That would be wonderful. That would be great. So right there at the traffic light, I prayed for God to protect her, station angels around her, give her insight and wisdom. I've been doing this with these vehicles all around, and you'll be shocked at how blessed. I said, thank you for protecting us. We love you. We thank you. God, please protect this person, this man, this woman, who wants to lay their life on the line for us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I got to pray for, you know, if I was to count my time for this week, I can throw that minute in right there at the foot of the bridge. Praying and talking to God, communicating with him, seriously sensing his presence. And then believers have unread Bibles. Not only are we uncommitted to God, not only do we have unbent knees, but we have unread Bibles. Now, we gave Paige as a graduate a Bible. Thankfully, she's young with great eyesight because it's very small print. And we really want you to read it, Paige. Read it every day. I've tried to read through the Bible every year with the one-year Bible. There's been a few years when I didn't succeed and didn't make it. This last year, I fell about a month behind and finished in January, but I did read through it. And I'm starting again, and now I'm a little bit behind catching up. But I found in my life the times when I went on mission trips and forgot my Bible, or we've gone on vacation, I didn't have my one-year Bible with me, or some times like that, that we've actually, I think these fans are blowing right on my microphone. I'm actually cold up here. Are y'all comfortable? So the one-year Bible and reading the Bible, what is the average? When they surveyed Christians across the nation, what is the average time spent? What's the average time spent reading the Bible by the average Christian? Let me hear some guesses. How long do you think? A week, weekly?
7 hours.
3 minutes. 3 minutes a week, average, reading the Bible. Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone. It's not just nourishment. It's not just carbohydrates and protein, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the Word of God. I have found that when I have fallen out of reading the daily Bible, that my life gets drier, personally, even as a pastor. And I've found that when I start getting back in and reading again, that it starts moistening and softening my life and touching me in that way. And so we have unread Bibles. We have unbent knees. We have unread Bibles. And believers with unconfessed sin. I'll get it. They're talking about this one. This is the one blowing. There we go. How many of you have spent time this week in confession? One of the best activities that you can do, and we got this from Life Action years ago when we had our Life Action Crusades, which have, for us, have averaged 2 weeks long. One of them was 3 weeks, meeting every night, off one or two nights during the 3 weeks, but mostly every night, and instruction and preaching and testimonies and confession. And they talk about getting alone with God, reading scripture till you're in a quiet place, and then asking God, try me, O God, search my heart, see if there be any wicked thing in me. And then being quiet with old school, with a sheet of paper and a pen, pencil, and just write down the impressions God places on your heart, things that you need to confess. And you know, I've done this several, many times in my life, and what's funny about it is things will start coming into your mind that when they occurred, they were not sin to you. Things will come into your mind that you've completely forgotten about, or things that never rose to a conscious level before. And that shows you that it's not your intellect, not your soul and spirit. It's God's spirit. It's God's soul and will interjecting himself into your psyche, into your soul, and searching your heart. And you write these things down. And then you go and you make restitution. You make things right. When I worked for my dad as an electrical, when he was an electrical contractor, I joined him an electrician. We were working on the island in Memphis. It's a commercial area covered with these industrial buildings, and we were wiring this one industry. And they had this big footlocker filled with leather gloves. And the manager of the of that factory floor told myself and Rodney and Bill Long, us as the three electricians, y'all can use these gloves. Get you some gloves when you're pulling wire, when you're working on panels, when you're running conduit, pipe. You can use these gloves. So for me, if one's good, three or four is great. We found that out moving. I mean, I've got this favorite hammer, and I thought I lost it, and I found out now I've got three of them. And so we're, you know, so I get several pairs of gloves. I get like four or five pairs of gloves, maybe even a half a dozen pairs of gloves. And I put them in the truck, and I'm using them, but then I also take the extra ones home. Well, as a baby Christian, I do this sin list, and the Lord says, he didn't tell you you could empty the locker. He didn't tell you to take all the gloves home. He said, get some to use. Okay, Lord, please forgive me for stealing. And so I get the gloves, even though he had given us permission, and I go back, and I've got them in a sack, and so I meet with this manager, and I walk up to him. I said, you know I'm a believer. I've talked to you about Jesus. And I just got alone with him, confessing and asking him to show me my heart. And he pointed out to me that I took more than one pair of gloves. I took several pairs of gloves. And so he's laid on my heart, I've got to return them to you. And they're here in this sack. And so he looks at me and he grins real big. He said, thank you for your honesty. And he said, but y'all have saved us tens of thousands of dollars with the work y'all have done here and the way you build us and all that. And he said, I want you to have those gloves. And said, in fact, he said, wait a minute. And he went and he got 10 more pairs of gloves. And so I came back with a half a dozen or so, and I left with 16 pairs. And he insisted. I said, I can't do it. You know, the Lord told me to return them. He said, the Lord told me to bless you for your honesty. And the idea, though, of making things right and getting things right and going through and thinking about, is there something I borrowed that I never returned? Is there something I've done? Did I lie on my taxes? We just did taxes again. Did I lie on my taxes? Have I misrepresented? Do I need to refile? Do I need to? It's more important to be right with God and remove anything. Maybe you said some snide remark that got back to somebody. Maybe you've had a critical spirit towards someone. Maybe you've had a critical spirit towards someone here. So the Lord will speak to our hearts, and we need to make those things right. We need to confess them to God, and we need to make restitution. And when you knock those things off the list, it is just a liberating thing getting rid of those. And then at the end, you can burn the list, tear it up, flush it down the toilet, and be clear before God and before people in a supernatural way. And so this idea of confession, he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if, another condition, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We do that, he will do that. Cleanse us. And a clear conscience is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to have, to say before God and people, I've not done anyone wrong. I've not done anything wrong. Years ago, Bertha Smith was a part of the Shantung Province revival in Shantung, China, before it fell to the communists. And she had gone through a confession list with the Lord, and the Lord laid several things on her heart. One of the things was years before, when she was in the United States, before she was a Southern Baptist missionary, she had invited a young family from her church to come home for lunch. She would prepare a lunch every Sunday and invite some new ones to come and eat lunch with her, to get to know them and to show hospitality. And so she invited this family, and when she gets home, her main dish had burned. So she started another dish real quickly. And when they came in, she said, it'll be a little bit longer. The main dish isn't ready yet because I've got an eye out on the stove, which was true. She did have an eye out on the stove, but that's not why lunch wasn't ready. So here she is several years later on the mission field, and the Spirit of God says, you lied to that young family. You lied to them. Now, you and I would think, what's the big deal? She's being generous, giving them lunch. She's prepared two main dishes. What's the big deal? Not a big deal to us. We minimize sin. Big deal to God. He maximizes sin. Sin so totally offends him. So he tells her, I can't let my spirit flow through you. You lied about that lunch that day. So she composes a letter and writes the family and says, please forgive me. I sinned against you and God. I lied that day about the meal. It wasn't ready because I burned it. And for pride, I lied to you. Please forgive me. She got a letter back. Quite a while back then, no email. She got it back, and the letter said, oh, we love you. You've been the greatest blessing in our life. We've seen Christ through you, you know, and so forth. And yes, you're forgiven. But to God, that kept his flow from coming through Bertha's life. A little thing. I believe if we were to even go around today, probably most here could say, I can think of a little thing that God impressed on my heart that I thought was no big deal. I borrowed the cup of sugar and I kept the saucer or whatever. And so we need to recognize that as believers, we need to confess our sins. We need to get right with God on these things. And then people with unforgiving spirits. Is there someone right now that you're holding malice toward, you've got a hardness in your heart toward? One of the things that's been a baffling aspect of the ministry for me as a pastor is through the years, in dealing with hundreds and even thousands of people through the years, is people being offended about things I didn't even know were an issue. Sometimes secondhand things that aren't even true. And, you know, it's like, where did that come from? I mean, complete left field stuff. And yet, if people kept short notices with God and with each other, they would come and deal with those things. And they would say, you know, I've got this in my spirit. I've got this in my heart. You know, and I need to make this right. I need to get right with you. There was a staff member here years ago that caused great damage to our ministry. And my daughter Shay is somewhat of a prophet. And I was talking to her and I said, oh, I've forgiven him. You know, I'm not. She said, Dad, I know you. And that's not true. You're holding on to it. I said, no, I'm good. I'm fine. No, you need to call him and meet him at Starbucks and buy him an expensive cup of coffee. And I said, no, I don't think I need to do that. And she said, yes, you do. And the reason you're balking about it proves that it's still in your heart. I said, thanks, Shay. You're such a blessing. You know. And so I call him and meet for coffee. And he, yeah, I did some things wrong, he says. And, you know, and I said, no, I'm not meeting with you for that. I'm not getting coffee for you to make a confession or to get anything like that out of you. I just want to meet with you, just ask you to forgive me. I did hold some hardness in my heart about that. And will you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I'll forgive you. But, you know, and then he goes, and I said, no, that's, you work with God on that and, you know, in his time, whatever. But I'm not here for that. I'm here to confess to you. And so we had coffee and things went well. And Shay got off my back, and praise the Lord for that. But we need to recognize, is your spirit closed toward someone? Do they even know it, or do they even know why? And a lot of times we perceive things. People, you walk by somebody in the store and don't say hi, and they, oh, you've got a grudge toward me. Grudge toward you? I didn't even see you. Did you see the shopping list I had? My nose buried in the shopping list. I didn't even see you. And so a lot of times, I was dove hunting with my grandsons and son-in-law, and we were coming back from that, and we stopped at a 7-Eleven over on the other side of 95, and we went in to get hot dogs and soft drinks and stuff, and it was a little bit after noon, and when we come out, there's a young family there that I really did not know that well, and their two little kids are with them, and they said, Pastor Darrell, that they saw you go in there, and they said, we are not leaving until we say hi to him. And they're waiting. You give them candy, you make them sing Jesus Loves Me, you know, all this. And so they said, do it, kids. And so right there in the parking lot, they sang Jesus Loves Me to me. And it was sweet. You know, but a lot of times we get offended about things, and sometimes they're imagined things, sometimes they're not even there, or someone's had a terrible day. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've been given a terrible diagnosis. Maybe something, and you think, oh, their spirit's closed toward me. No, their spirit's closed, period. They're struggling. You know, it's not you. It's not all about you. And so the idea of an unforgiving spirit, and we need to forgive as we expect Christ to forgive us. It's funny how we want him to be unconditional with us. Lord, forgive me for everything. In fact, I don't even really need to confess it to you because I know you're full of forgiveness, and I'm just going to take that for granted. And, you know, and yet then someone do some little thing toward us, and boy, we're hot to trot, quick to the pistols, ready to go. Let's have a duel. Next, we see not only are we uncommitted to God, on unbent knees with unread Bibles, unconfessed sin, unforgiving spirits, but believers with unpaid tithes. The tithe is the Lord's. And if believers tithe, they say 10% of the church people are actually carrying most of the financial load. We're not like the government. We can't produce stimulus out of thin air. We have to use real money to pay real bills that comes from the tithes and offerings of our people. We're not subsidized. It's strictly the giving of our people. And I do believe, even in our case, and y'all are generous, and I know this church does better than most, but even in our case, I believe that if everyone here tithes 10% first to the Lord as an acknowledgement of His provision, I think our budget would quadruple. I'm sure it would. And so we see this idea of unpaid tithes. In Malachi, in Scripture, he talks about this and gives us an interesting aspect to it in Malachi, the very end of the Old Testament, chapter 3. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you say, how shall we return? How can we come back to you, Lord? And then he asks this rhetorical question, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its figs, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land. The Lord says that we've robbed him in our tithes and offerings. This is one commitment I get from every staff member, every deacon, when they sign up to serve this church, that will you honor God with your tithes and offerings? Will you give 10% at least to the Lord in acknowledgement? And they all make that commitment. Now, it's between them and God whether they follow through on it or not. But I do believe that if they're not, they're robbing him. I believe he says that. And it's not good for robbers to be in charge of the ministry. Can I hear an amen? That's a weak one. Let's hear an amen.
Amen.
So, in relationship to that, we see that we are not only these other things, but also we've had unpaid tithes. And then finally, believers with unbroken hearts. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. A broken spirit He will not despise. And God wants us to have broken hearts. When Kim and I got first married, part of our honeymoon we spent at Disney World. And me, fresh out of seminary and fresh in ministry and all that, when I was there on our honeymoon, I was looking at all those massive crowds of thousands of people sweeping around that park. And I teared up. In fact, I wept and I said, do they know Christ? Where are they going to go when they die? You know, what's going to happen to them? And we need to have a broken heart. We need to have a broken heart. We're so apathetic. Our nation has gone completely down the toilet. We're past the toilet. In fact, we're in the bottom of the sewer. We're in the bottom of the septic tank. I mean, it's the worst it's ever been in the history of our nation. Our morals are gone. And we need to be broken about it. We need to be broken about the death of the innocent. We need to be broken about perversion. We need to be broken about agnosticism and atheism and unbelief, skepticism. We need for God to break our hearts. And I do believe that if we do that, then He will honor that. He will respond to that. And I think whoever in our nation gets there first, where they are removing all these unkept things, they're removing all of these undone things. They've gotten committed to God. They've bent their knees. They've read their Bibles. They've confessed their sins. They're forgiving others. They've paid their tithes, and their hearts are broken. And I believe when we do that, God will move. God will move on us in a supernatural way. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you cannot perform these things and have a spiritual benefit apart from Christ. We must be born again. We must have Christ in our heart and life. He must take control. And I'd like to invite you right now, if you're not sure that He's in control of your life, if you're not sure that you've yielded your heart and life to Him, to just say, Lord, I know You see me, You hear me, You're present. Please cleanse me and forgive me. Remove my sins and take control of me. You've paid for me with Your death. Take control of me with Your life. And Lord, I love You and praise You and thank You. Thank You for hearing my prayer. Live through me in Jesus' name. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like you to pray this and say, Oh Lord God, help me to be broken. Help me to be hungry for Your word, willing to forgive. Help me, Lord, to seek You in prayer every day. Help me, Lord, to be fully, totally sold out to You, committed to You as Your bondservant. Lord, help me to serve You and love You and live for You every day of my life. And Lord, use me to bring an awakening to this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to extend our invitation now, and we do want you to do business with God. Obey the promptings of His Spirit. And you say, well, what is that, Pastor? What's the promptings of His Spirit? It's when you have that thought that comes in your heart that says, you need to join this church, or you need to be baptized, or the thought that comes in your heart that says, you need to go down and kneel at the front and confess your sins. Or maybe you need to say, I've got a prayer request, or I've got a praise. Lord speaks to our hearts in these thoughts that are in our mind. They're not your thoughts. They're His thoughts. And you need to obey Him and do what He tells you to do. Just promptly obey Him. Let's stand together and sing and you come. Please be seated. And if the Lord speaks to your heart to pray, come. You're welcome to come down while we're doing this and pray. The Hensleys came forward requesting prayer for his brother, William. He's a retired, dentist. Dentist, is that correct? Yes. Retired dentist. And they both came down broken for him. They love him, and they want him to be saved. And so we prayed together, but I think it'd be great if all of us prayed together for William Hensley. Say that name with me. William Hensley. So let's bow together and let's all pray. Let's pray for his salvation this week. Let's ask God to break his heart and save him this week, okay? Father, we just want to tell You we love You, and we just pray for William that You pour Your Spirit out upon him and just open the windows of heaven and let Your Spirit fall upon him and draw him to Yourself. We just pray you'll save him this week, and that You'll just bring repentance to his heart and the witnesses that are necessary to his life, and draw him to Yourself. And let us meet and rejoice next week over his salvation. Please, if You would do that. We are all agreeing and we're all praying for William, and we want him to be saved. And we'd like to ask You, dear Lord, if You'd do it, if You would, this week. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord for the privilege to get together today. And please take these seven things and work them through for yourself, your family, your husband, your wife, your grandkids. Work it through and say, am I some of these? Am I uncommitted in some of these things? Am I disobedient in some of these things? And obey God. Everything he asks us to do is to bless us. Everything he asks us to do is to draw us to him. Yes.
I want to share a praise.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Sania Ricardo. I've been coming to this church since 2001 when I moved to Stewart. And my kids, I have four of them. All of them was raised here. Three are baptized here. And 8 years ago, we came in and we asked God to bless one of my daughters because her dream was to go to medical school. And today I want to praise the Lord. She graduated on Tuesday and from Nova Southern University as a medical student. So I just want to thank the pastor, Cam, and the church. And we all know Whitney. She worked here with the youth group for a year or two.
She's an intern.
She's an intern. Yeah, she was an intern. And yeah, she graduated last Tuesday, medical school. And she's going to be at Memorial Regional down in Hollywood for her residency.
Praise
Thank
God.
The Lord. Praise God.
Praise the
God.
Lord. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord, Sunil. And she will grant us medical discounts. Amen. You'll mention that to her for us, won't you? Okay, good. So praise the Lord for another day. Worship Jesus. And love you, proud of you. Let's obey God. Let's do what he tells us to do, whatever his promptings are. And let's intercede for our nation. Whew, we're in such trouble. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message, and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you, and thank God for you.